Jetzt drei Schirrs der Kettel, der Nischmas Chaim Abba Ben Yosef. So we left off yesterday, just introducing to us the principle of Sveik Sveika in the sense of trying to find the different cases in Shas that speak about Sveik Sveika. The problem is that we found three Gemaras that do address the issue of Sveik Sveika. Two of them sounded to be saying one way, and the other one sounded to be saying another way. This is always the making of a Machlekes Rishonim, making of a Sugya. So let's just review for a moment. So we started off in Bava Kama Dafi and Aleph and Aleph, where the Gemara said that in reality we don't really have a Sveik Sveika here, because every time a Shilya comes out, they have to assume there's a little bit of Lod in that Shilya. But if that wouldn't have been true, then we probably would have had a Sveik Sveika, because we would have been able to almost ignore the small amount of Shilya by saying, well, how do you know there's any baby in there? And even if there is a baby in there, well, maybe it's not a rope of the baby in there. So that would have been a good Sveik Sveika. Yes, Metzius, medically, biologically, it's in fact not true, but if the facts would have been correct, that would have qualified as a Sveik Sveika. That's one of the sources the Rishonim highlight as a Gemara that discusses, or at least indirectly alludes to Sveik Sveika. Then we had a Gemara that was much more explicit. That was the Gemara in Maseches Ksubas Naftes. The Gemara talks about a person who walks into Beis Din and accuses his wife of saying, in effect, Pesach Pesuach Batzav, that she's not a Besula, so she must have been Mezada at some point. So we basically ignore what he says, because we say, well, maybe you're right, and even if you are right, but your statement does not necessarily translate to mean she's Asura, because there's a double down on her hands, that maybe she was Mezada before the Erisin, and even if she was involved in an act of Znus post the Erisin, maybe it was bonus, maybe she was forced, maybe it wasn't willing, and therefore that wouldn't translate to being an Eshizish Zinsa to Asar Labaila. So that was a Gemara that also addressed Sveik Sveika and said even a little bit more clearly that Sveik Sveika is permissible. But we had another Gemara that also addressed Sveik Sveika that seemed to throw a curveball at us. That was the Gemara in the beginning of Maseches Beitza, where the Gemara talks about a Beitza Shenolda B'Shabbos or B'Yomtiv, but it's not even a Beitza Shenolda, it's a Suffolk Beitza Shenolda. We don't even know for certain that this egg was laid on Shabbos and Yom Tov altogether. So we have to be machmir, which is a topic in and of itself. Why do we have to be machmir? Isn't it only a derabbanan? So again, that's beyond the scope right now. But assuming for now that a suffix beis hashanol to be Shabbos and Yom Tov is a problem, then the Brice concluded that it's arva be'elef kulin asuros. If that suffix egg gets mixed into a whole bunch of other eggs, all the eggs are off limits till the end of Shabbos or the end of Yom Tov. So the Rishonim posed a question, why will the other eggs off limits yank out any one of those eggs and say, well, it's only a suffix. I don't know whether this is the right egg or the wrong egg. So maybe what I'm getting is the right egg. And even if it's long that it's the wrong egg, I don't even know that egg was also in the first place. So that's also a Sveik Sveika. So how could the Braisa say that the suffix egg that gets this arva be'elef prohibits all the eggs? It's by definition going to be a Sveik Sveika. So some of you may be wondering, forget about Sveik Sveika. What happened to Bittel Barov? Aren't there 1,000 eggs here? And there's only one of them is a problematic one. Why isn't that one Batel Barov? So that's a good question. The Gemara of Gimel spends a lot of time trying to figure this out. Why, for whatever reason, Batel Barov doesn't work. For a variety of reasons. Either it's a Dava Choshev, a Dava Shebeminyan, a Dava Sheshmatire. Gemara goes down the line of all the possibilities as to why it's not Batel Barov. Hopefully for next year, we learn Maseches Chulin Mi'at Hashem. So the Shiva's learning the seventh parak of Chulin next year, so I assume that means we'll carry that over here also. So a lot of those sugyas, a bit of a role, are going to play out for us. So we'll put that Gemara in the back burner for next year. But back for our story, so the Rishonim ask, well, let's permit any one of those eggs based on Sveik Sveika. So that seems to point in a direction that Sveik Sveika doesn't exist. So this is what sets the background for the question the Rishonim raised. Is Sveik Sveika valid principle in halacha, or is it not? We've been working with the assumption for the last 3 weeks that it is valid, but now we're questioning that. So we have Bava Kama Yud Aleph that seems to say yes, valid. Ksubas Daf Tes seems to say yes, valid. Beit Zadav Gimel seems to indicate that, in fact, invalid. So what is the answer to that question? So this, for our purposes, there seem to be three different approaches in the Rishonim as to how to deal with that dilemma. And we'll try to take each one and develop for ourselves the different approaches that we showed them towards Sveik Sveika in general, and then ultimately come back to how it relates to our Gemara. So if we take a look at the fifth of the Marma Komos, we'll go a little bit backwards in terms of the Marma Komos, but we'll start almost from the easiest and go work our way backwards, work our way up. So in the bottom of the fifth of the Marma Komos is the Sefer the Bedek HaBayis that was written by the Ra'ah. The Bedek HaBayis was a response to the Rashba. The Rashba wrote a Sefer called the Torah HaBayis, where he speaks a great deal. The sugyas of kashrus are in there, shchita are in there, hilchos nidah in there. A good chunk of what later became known as Yerideya is based on the sources of the Rashi, the Sefer Torah Sabayis. The contemporary of the Rashi was Rabbi Aaron Halevi. He wrote a critique on the Torah Sabayis, and he called it the Bedek Habayis, which means to fix the house. It means all the problems of the house that have fallen apart. So he fixed them. And then the Rashba wanted to defend himself, so he wrote an anonymous response called the Sefer Mishmeres Habayis to protect the house. So the Ra'az knocking down the house, and the Rashba is fixing up the house. They're all working around the Torah Habayis. So it's those three Svarim, the Torah Habayis, the Bedek Habayis, Mishmeres Habayis, they're all printed together. That became almost like the basis for so much of Yerideya, so much of Mitzvah next year. We're going to be hopefully referencing many, many Torah Habayis, many, many Bedek Habayis. The Ra'ah, besides being a great Rishon in and of himself for writing the Bedek Habayis, he was also he's a Talmud Muvak of the Ramban. He was a Rebbe Muvak of the Ritva. The Ritva quotes him all the time. And for many years, he was the supposed author of the Sefer HaChinuch. And then years later, most of the Mepharshim assumed that the problem was not correct. That Sefer HaChinuch was written at some time around that period in time by somebody from that world of Spanish yeshivas of Talmidim of the Ramban, but probably not the Ra'ah himself. In his introduction to the Sefer Chinuch, he doesn't identify himself. He describes his background a little bit, and people just assumed it was him, but it's probably not him. Although the interesting thing we do know about the Sefer Chinuch is that we know exactly why he wrote the Sefer. He tells you why in the introduction, that he wrote the Sefer Chinuch because his son and their friends and his friends were running around Shabbos afternoon, drinking a cup and doing nothing, wasting time. So he decided, I have to do something productive. So instead of starting a youth program, so he wrote a sefer. So that was the way he did things in the Middle Ages. So he wrote a sefer, went by parsha, with all the halachas and the hashkafas, machshavas, tamei mitzvahs. And I wasn't knocking youth programs. I was just saying that that's what the sefer chinuch. They didn't think of that back in the Middle Ages. So
we just canceled all our Shabbos programs.
And now everyone's going to start writing Sfarim now. So the Sefer Chinuch wrote, the author of Sefer Chinuch, whoever it was, wrote an entire Sefer. He doesn't write whether it was successful. He doesn't write whether the kids stopped playing ball and they came to the base manager, but that was at least the goal of the Sefer. Anyway, to get back to the story. So this the Ra'ah at the bottom of the fifth of the Ramah Kamos deals with this question. And if we take a look at the third line, Falaf Kushahi, I'm taking a little bit taking a snip of a line out of the whole discussion. Falaf Kushahi, the Hasib Nabi Misafik Rishon Muteras bin Atora, the Machminan La Achazaka de Atera. Comes the Ra'ah and says, I challenge you to go back to the Gemara Ksubas Naftes, which was the source for Sfeik Sfeika. That was the Gemara the most clearest statement of the Gemara. The Gemara actually used the term Sfeik Sfeika. So says the Ra'ah, guess what? That Gemara doesn't really mean anything. Don't extrapolate from that Gemara that Sfeik Sfeikas are totally, completely mutter. The only reason why Sfeik Sfeikas happen to be mutter in that particular case is because there's something else that's working in your benefit there. And what is that? This woman has a cheskes heter. The status quo is that she was muteris. You have a man comes to Beis Din and he accuses his wife that you are now asura to me. That's basically what he's saying by saying Pesach Pasuach. So the Gemara says, what do you mean she's asura to you? There's a Sfeik Sfeika. So says the Ra'ah, not only is there a Sfeik Sfeika, there's something else here. Namely, she has a cheskas heter. But before they got married, she was muteris to him. 6 months ago, she was muteris to him. We're being done now. Did anything in her status quo change? So b'chihai gavna, in a situation when a person has a cheskas heter, then and only then will we invoke the principle of Sfeik Sfeika.
Say it's eight echad against eight against one, you know, a husband against a wife. She's not claiming she was mazana, so sfeik would work better just by the fact that it's one person saying against the other, and there's no edus here.
No, well, the problem with all the edus here is, well, everything is thrown out the window because he's not kosher to be an aid on the case because he's related.
And she can't be
an aid because she's a woman.
So
she's
that's
right.
Better, right?
So it's almost like you have nothing. So you're starting off with, the starting point is zero. So his edus is garnished and her edus is garnished. You're starting off with zero. So the Ra'ah does not want to say that Sfeik Sfeika solves the problem because the Ra'ah holds in his heart and soul that there's no such thing as a Sfeik Sfeika. That Sfeik Sfeika is the same as any other suffix. So if you wouldn't have anything else to go on, then you would not be able to be matter something based on Sfeik Sfeika. So what's the real matter? The real matter is the Chazaka Meikara. So of course, the textual problem becomes, so why doesn't the Gemara say that? Why does the Gemara call this Svek Sveka? So clearly what the Ra'ah held is as follows. That Midah Araisa, the Chazaka Bekorah solves the problem. If you would ask Moshe Rabbeinu, is this woman Muteres? Moshe Rabbeinu said, even if it's only Safek Echad, she's Muteres, because she has the Chazaka Bekorah, she has the status quo on her hands. So Midah Araisa, we've solved the problem a long time ago with the Chazaka Bekorah. However, apparently Midah Rabbanon, we're not so thrilled with following Chazaka Bekorahs, unless we have something to support it, unless we have some other reason to believe that it's going to be good, and then and only then does Sveik Sveika enter into the picture. So it's not that Sveik Sveika doesn't exist at all in the world of halacha, according to the Ra'ah. Sveik Sveika exists in a very limited sense. Sveik Sveika works when you've already solved your problems min haTorah, then you can begin to use Sveik Sveika to offset any potential chumras min derabbanan. But if you have a real problem on your hands, and you don't have anything else to go on, you don't have a chazaka supporting you, you don't have a chazaka on your side, so then just to pask in a shayla and say, well, it's a sveik, sveik, everything's great, that doesn't exist in halacha. So the Ra'ah, in one fell swoop, took the Gemara in Maseches Ksubos, which is the clearest, most obvious statement of Chazal, am I sveik, sveik? The Gemara says, pem molad, that it's a sveik, sveik. And the Ra'ah says, it doesn't really mean that. It means, if and when, min haTorah, anyway you're okay, then sveik, sveik will help you. But if you have a real bona fide problem in halacha, Sveik Sveik is not going to do anything for you. And of course, that is supported by the Gemara in Maseches Beitza. That's exactly why, according to the Ra'ah, in the case of the Suffolk of the egg, there's no chazaka there. I don't know anything about anything. So I have a real problem. I have an egg that maybe also, maybe it is mutter, maybe it's also, I have no idea. There's no chazaka here per se. And therefore, I have a real problem. So I have a real problem. You have to come up with a real solution. Sveik Sveika is not a real solution. That's the yisod of the Ra'ah. So the Ra'ah is the chiddush b'chiddushim, because according to the Ra'ah, all the Torahs and all the klalim and shulchan aruch about Sveik Sveika don't exist, because there's no such principle called Sveik Sveika.
But the Ra'ah is getting into the Gemara of Beitza, where it's davish b'teres after Shabbos. So using Beitza as the model, instead of using ksuvos, it's not a parallel, because a beitza has other complications. It's double shem teres after Shabbos.
Right. Okay. It's a very, very excellent question you're asking. But the answer is it's going to take us into next year. But that sugya in beitza, you're assuming that because I told it to you that the beitza in question is a beitza shenolda b'Shabbos shenolda b'yontif. And it's what's called the Domination of Materian, which could potentially throw off all the rules. However, there is a totally different pshat in that Gemara itself. The Rashi quotes the Machlokes, is the Beitza in that Braisa, even a Beitza Shnol to be Yomtif, that Beitza there may be what's called the Beitza Strefa. It may be a whole other angle altogether, which Domination of Materian may not even be relevant. So for the intricacies of that Sugya, what you're saying may not help. So it's going to take us way, way, way off to go through the Shakvatai of that Sugya, but what you're saying may be right according to one side of the sugya, but there is an entirely different position in that sugya.
But it's only the kud that I think the Ra'ah is, hanging his hat on the Gemara Beitza in comparison to using ksub, ksubis, and I don't think they're parallel. Even if you go into that, it could be a davar asur, and then you fall out of it.
But once you knock out Dosh Yesh Matirin, then you're talking about regular Yisurim, and then regular Yisurim should have been covered by Sveik Sveika. So at the end of the day, the Gemara in Beitza is ignoring Sveik Sveika, at least the way the Ra'ah is learning the Gemara is ignoring Sveik Sveika.
Would the Ra'ah at least allow you, if it's only a Safek Derabbanan, if you had a third Safek? So now that you knocked it from a Safek to a Sveik Sveik, it's now a Derabbanan, so the third Safek might make it a Sveik Sveika. No?
Sveik, I don't know. I have a Safek whether Sveik works, so I just went to a fourth Safek.
He's only saying it's in a Torah when it's a problem.
Right. He's saying that in a Torah you have to solve the problem, but I think his understanding is that the term Sveik Sveika doesn't exist in a Torah. Sveik Sveika is just another way of saying it's a Safek. There's no such concept as a Sveik Sveika in a Torah. So in contrast to the Ra'ah, who was the tremendous, tremendous chiddush in the sugya, who really put, no pun intended, this would have been a good pun, I didn't think it was all his eggs in one basket. Everything, as I was saying it, I realized how corny it was going to be. But according to the Ra'ah, everything is hinging on that one Gemara in Maseches Beitza, and he's willing to, in a sense, cross out, to toss this Gemara and Ksubas out the window in deference to that sugya in Maseches Beitza. So Rabbeinu Tam had the entirely different approach, 180-degree difference from the Ra'ah, that Rabbeinu Tam was almost willing to in a sense, not toss out the Gemara in Beitza, but totally revamp the Gemara in Beitza in deference to the Gemara in Maseches Ksubos. So we take a look at Mar Mokom 4 Beis. the two different parts of the Torah Sabai, so we're going backwards in the sugya. So it's the second line from the bottom. Rabbeinu Yaakov Zal Piresh, Hosam Beresh Brakama Debeitza, the Avadai Koi, the Leika Elachada Sveika, Aval Sufik Nolda, Sufik Lo Nolda, Imnis Ava Biacheras, Kulon Mutaras, the Chos Sveik Sveika Mutar. So Rabbeinu Tam just said that we basically misread the entire Gemara in Masechus Beitza. So let's go back. We read the Gemara together. Let's go back to that Gemara in Beitza, see how we thought we read the Gemara yesterday, and see how Rabbeinu Tam revamped the Gemara. Let's go back to the third of the Mamre Kavos, and Beitza Dav Gilma Mebeis. Echad Beitza Shenol Du B'Shabbos, V'echad Beitza Shenol Du B'Yomtif, Eimet Tartar Asol V'chas Masakli. So if you have an egg that was laid either on Shabbos and Yomtif, you know that it was laid on Shabbos and Yomtif, you can't eat it, obviously, you can't use it, you can't move it, it's Mokta. V'litzuch Bakari Amit, you can't use it to support your bed. The only you can do is you can throw a bowl on top of it that the egg shouldn't break. So the Braisa is very, very clear that a Beitza should know the B'Shabbos. The Yontif is off limits to Gamrei. Now it starts to get a little bit tricky. How to read the next few words. Usveika Asura. And even if you're not even sure that the egg was laid on Shabbos and Yontif, that's also a problem. And the Gemara has a whole discussion. Why isn't it Sufik to Rabban Lekula? Again, that's not for now. But Usveik Asura, even a Sufik egg that was laid on Shabbos is also. Now let's read the next five words. Vimnis Arva Be'elof Kulon Asuros. If it was mixed in with 1,000 other eggs, all of them are also. Now this always is a problem because if one of my kids would write an essay for school and they would use the word it, so I would say that that's a pronoun. What is the noun? What is the subject of that sentence? When you say it could either be referring back to the immediate previous statement, or it could be referring to the main part of this paragraph. What do I mean by that? The imnis arva, is that referring back to the last two words, usveika asura? It means that if you have a suffix, beta shenolda, if it, that suffix gets this arev, all them are asuros. Or maybe, this is almost like a new sentence, it's almost like a new paragraph. The Imnis Arva Be'elef is going back on the main topic of the sugya. What's the main topic? A Beitza Shenolda, namely, it's a Vaday Beitza Shenolda Beyondiv, not a Suffolk Beitza Shenolda Beyondiv. So that makes all the difference in the world. If you learn Pshat, the Imnis Arva Be'elef, it was mixed up, and the it is the Suffolk, so then the Braisa is saying, even though you have a Sveik Sveika, you still have a problem. What's the Sveik Sveika? You're not even sure there's any Beitza here that's problematic. And even if there is a problematic Beitza here, you're not sure the one that you yanked out of the mixture is the problematic one. So you have a classic Sveik Sveika. What happened to Sveik Sveika? So if you read the Braisa of the Im referring back to the Sveika, so then the Braisa is in effect saying Sveik Sveika is a problem, which is exactly what they're all said. That's exactly how they're all read the Braisa. Comes Rabbeinu Tam and said that no, the Beitza Avadei Koi, that the phrase Vimnis Arva Be'elef is going back on Avadei Beitza. If you know for sure, this is the, in a sense, the Trefa Beitza, this is the Asa Tikka Beitza, this is the Beitza Shalta Beyontif. If that gets mixed in, great. So the Asa is all the above. What would the din be, according to Rabbeinu Tam, if the Sofek got mixed in? So you'd be able to yank out any one egg and say, Sveik Sveik, and call it a day. So Rabbeinu Tam and the Ra'ah are literally 180 degree opposites of one another. We had a clash of Gemaras. Leaving out that Gemara for a minute. A Gemara in Ksubas that sounds like Sveik Sveik is Mutar. A Gemara in Beitza that sounds like Sveik Sveik is Asar. How do you resolve the contradiction? So the Ra'ah said, well, the real Gemara stand up. The real Gemara is the Gemara in Beitza. Sveik Sveik is Asar. I think Gemara in Ksubas, don't bother with Ksubas. There's the Cheskes Heta there. Everything's different. And Rabbeinu Tam said the exact opposite. Rabbeinu Tam said, the real Gemara is the Gemara in Ksubis, that all Sveik Sveikas are Mutar. What's the problem in Beitza? There's no Sveik Sveika, because you got the wrong egg. You talk about the wrong egg. You're talking about a Vade. You think you're talking about a Suffolk egg. You're talking about a Vade egg. So when all the dust settles, does Sveik Sveika exist or not? Forget about Beitza, forget about Ksubis. I want to have a Shailin, Hilchas Chazir, Hilchas Chometz, Hilchas Sham. Rabbi, is there a principle called Sveik Sveik or not? So they're all said, I never heard of such a thing. Minat Torah, there's no such thing. It doesn't exist. The Gemara Ksubas never meant it. And Rabbeinu Tam said, what do you mean it doesn't exist? Of course it exists. Sveik Sveik is always good. I think Gemara Beitza, Shkoyach, the Gemara Beitza, there's no Sveik Sveik there because you misread the Gemara. So that's the Machlokes, the two extreme views between Rabbeinu Tam and the Ra'ah. We've said many times, both in learning and in terms of life, when you have extreme views, so they're usually fairly simple to explain. Because when you're very, very kitzoni in something, very extreme in something, so you're usually very consistent. Now, it doesn't mean you're right, but it means you're very, very consistent. When you start to take a little bit of both, you start to take a little mixture, when your life starts to look like a trillant, so then we're trying to figure out. We know this is real life also. You know, I do a little bit, take a little bit from this world, a little bit from that world, a little bit from this institution, a little bit from that institution. I make my own mishmash. So you may be right, but very often you're confused also because you can't exactly figure out whether you're coming or going. This is always a common refrain in that house. We always ask ourselves, so who are we? What are we? We're never quite sure where we are in life. So this is this is the dilemma of Sveik Sveik also, because the Rishonim were very, very extreme in the sugya. The Rabbi Natam says that all Sveik Sveikers work, and just basically forget the Gemara Beitza. The Ra'ol says all Sveik Sveikers don't work, forget the Gemara Ksubas. Those are easy to understand. It's the middle ground of the Rishonim that's much more difficult to understand, which is probably the way we accept, which is probably the view of most of the Rishonim. And that started with the view of the Ri. The Ri was the nephew of Rabbi Natam, who came up with a little bit of a different theory as to what's going on in these sugyas. And it was elaborated upon by the Rashba. And basically we have an entire different picture that's going to emerge from the sugya.
I'm not sure I understand the Ra. Not taking sides of Tosfos to the Ra and looking at them, which one's right or wrong, but how does the Ra just throw out the Gemara of Svei Sveik?
Because he says that Gemara meant anyway it was Mutter Min HaTorah because of Chazakah. There would have been a problem in the Rabbanan. Svei Sveik cannot go off a make-believe problem in the Rabbanan. But if you have a real bona fide deraisa like a problem, Svei Sveik is not going to help you. That was the Ra's understanding. So he said, yes, Svei Sveik exists in theory, but it's so irrelevant 99% of the time that we're not going to even address it. So comes the Rashba and begins to quote in the name of the Ri, and then he elaborates a little bit further on. We're going to pick up on the fourth line in four bays, in the second paragraph in the Rashba. So it's towards the middle of the line, towards the end of the line, V'yeshli Lomar. V'yeshli Lomar, the awesome shiny, she'yevsha lazo lavo lefanecha ela b'shtei sveikos, v'yata yochol hachmer alev lomar, Teach nati or kvar sarta, k'mosha taomer b'suffik nol de biyamtiv, shemiyach amda aleinu beisur, v'acharkach nesarva b'acheros, v'nisosif etarov b'suffik zasheini. So, we'll elaborate a little bit about the Ri and the. This is source is coming from the Ri and the Rashba's elaboration of the Ri. Basically, what the Rashba is telling us is that there are really conceptually two different ways that Sveik Sveikers can play out. Sometimes Sveik Sveikers can play out when both Sveikas converge, in a sense, simultaneously. And sometimes Sveikas can play out that one Sufik emerged first, we addressed it, we discussed it, we almost paskined on it, and then, almost an hour later, in a sense, there's a second Sufik that's now emerging. What does this mean? So says the Ri, it says the Rashba, in the case of the Beitza, so let's map out in the timeline what happened over here. So we have a Sufik Beitza Shinol to be on. So that Sufik was already, no pun intended, was nolded already. There was the latest Sufik. We already have a Shaila on this egg. So from the minute that egg was laid, we already have a Sufik. How did we paskin on that Sufik? So the halach happens to be that a Sufik Beitza Shinol Biyamtif happens to be also. Why is that? Because it's a Daraisa, because it's a Dabashish Batir, a million reasons why in Beitza Davdalad, why that's true. But Tachlis, the din is, the Bryce says Usfek Asura. So the minute that egg was laid, we already issued a psak on that egg. That egg is osur. Now what happens next? After that egg receives its psak of being osur, now a tarovus plays out. So now you have a situation where that egg gets mixed into a whole batch of 1,000 other eggs. And now somebody wakes up and says, wait a second, hold the phone. Let's be mate one of those eggs. We have a sveik sveik on our hands. So that's what the Ri and the Rashba turn around and say, no. That's not a sveik sveik anymore. The first sveik was done. The first sveik was this paskin already. The first sveik was us paskined already. You already paskined a minute ago that the sveik beit should all be on as well, sir. Now you have one sveik that's emerging. You can't bring the previous sveik back to life. Once the sveik was already dispashed, so it's over, it's done, it's history. Now you're paskening on a vade beitzah in a sense. Once we pasken that a suffik beitzah is usur, so a suffik beitzah becomes like the equivalent of a vade beitzah. So this is no longer called a sveik sveika. This is called the suffik echad. So you had a suffik echad an hour ago, which you pasken l'chumra. Now you have a suffik echad now, which you pasken l'chumra. That's not called the sveik sveika. But in the case of the woman who comes to Beis Din, so the husband's looking at his wife in the eye and he's saying, Pesach Pesuch Matzasi. So right now we don't have anything. We have no information right now. So Beis Din is sitting and deliberating on the case. So imagine what's going through the minds of Beis Din right now. They're trying to add up the sfeikas. So one suffik emerges, hey, maybe it's for before Kedusha, maybe it's after Kedusha. At Imtim Tzalimer, it's from after Kedusha, maybe it's Ba'onas, maybe it's Baratzon. So we have a sfeik sfeika that's emerging. The two sfeikas are emerging simultaneous. The two sfeikas are happening right in front of our eyes at the same time. We didn't first pasken the shayla yet. The both sfeikas are in front of our eyes at the same time. So since both sfeikas are converging together, that is a sfeik sfeika, says the Rashba. But if that doesn't, if you don't have that aspect of the two sfeikas converging together, that is the problem in the Gemara Maseches Beitza. That's why the sfeik sfeika and Beitza is not acceptable. Not because we don't follow sfeik sfeikas like the Rav says. We do follow sfeik sfeikas, but one of the rules, one of the basic cardinal rules of sfeik sfeika is that the two sfeikas have to emerge together. That's the yesod of the Rashbandri. Then you have a further machlekes in the Acharonim.
The Rashbandri, they don't like the way
Right, they thought that was a straight. Right, they thought that. Right, they thought that Vimnis Arab Elif is going on the sfeikas. Right, it's going on the sfeikas. They thought textually that was not correct. Then there's a further machlekes in the Beis Yosef and the Taz within this distinction, because this is probably the way we accept the halacha. How do you define properly sfeikas that converge together, or sfeikas that converged one after another? What would the din be as follows? What if a beitza was nolda, and then that beitza was nisarev, and we didn't know anything about it? We first find out about that problematic beitza after the tarovus already happened. So the Beis Yosef raises the possibility, maybe that's cool, both sfeikas emerging at the same time. What we don't know doesn't hurt us. That since when the Shaila enters into our realm, the two sfeikas have already converged together, maybe that's enough to call that two sfeikas. And other Acharonim, the Taz, other Acharonim say, no. This is not a practical two versus one. This is a conceptual difference. Namely, the type of sfeikas of Suffolk Nolda and Suffolk Ataroves are conceptually two stages of sfeikas. The fact that they did or did not converge together on the practical timeline, the eyes of the Beis Din, that is completely irrelevant. But from a conceptual point of view, we can separate between the two sfeikas and we'll view it halachically like one suffik was in a sense nolad. Once the suffik was nolad, it was nispashet le'isr, and now the second suffik is only a single suffik. In the case of the sfeik of the woman in Ksubis, by definition, they're nolad b'vasachas. That's the case is. Every case is the same. The woman comes to the Beis Din, and the Beis Din looks, hey, we have two sfeikas that converge together. So it's not a question of practically vasachas versus bezechas. It's more of a question of halachli, of lumdus-wise, of conceptual-wise. So we have really almost four different biurim as to how to make sense of these two sugyas. Do you go down the root of the Ra'ah and basically ignore, for all practical purposes, the Gemara Ksubis? Do you go down the root of Rabbi Natan and revamp the whole Gemara Maseches Beitza? But you go down the root of the Rin Rashba, that there's a difference between Vasachas versus not Vasachas, and then within that third Shita, you have the further breakdown, is that difference a function of practical, or is that a function of conceptual? So we have the basic Tzura of our Sugya. Now we have to go back to our Sugya. How does this all play out in terms of Bava Kamma? So for Mitzvah, the next year, we have to come back and see, how do you read Bava Kamma Daf Yud Aleph through the eyes of all these different Rishonim? So for Mitzvah, next year, so next year, Mitzvah,